John Tamahiri is with us. I've described a schmozzle as the discussions that have gone on for 5 weeks. And if this is the way that these parties are going to be able to operate, it doesn't give a great deal of confidence. JT says it's all about the money. Follow the money, he says. And he's with us now. Hey, John, tēnā koe.
Yeah, kia ora, John.
It's all about the billions.
Oh, look, there's an old quoted term, isn't it? The control of the treasury benches. And when you're slicing and dicing up to $180 billion a year over the next 3 years, you look at a negotiation and you'll be wondering, well, how do I get to be the Prime Minister to control the game? And here's the other thing, I can't control as much as I wanted to, but I definitely want to be in the middle of it, right? And so lots of things will be sold out. If you recall, Seymour says to Peters, you're the most untrustworthy politician ever in this country, right? And I will not work with you. Well, you know, as soon as the specials are in, he goes and sends a text to Peters to say, well, how about a coffee, buddy? Like, how does that work? How do you do a somersault and immediately then are able to sit around the table and say, oh, you're my bestie now because I no longer think you're untrustworthy. Really? Like and the press are complicit with it, you know? They're complicit with this view that you can be a snake today and then tomorrow you're not a snake. Like, I just don't get that. And I don't see it as a schmozzle. I just see it as 94% of Kiwis voted for other parties, 6% voted for New Zealand First, and New Zealand First is the tail wagging the dog, and good on them. That's what I say. My only fear in terms of what we're going to have to do to organise is that they all collude, all three parties collude to take a stick out on the Māoris. So we await with not trepidation, but in the knowledge that has been done before, and they'll do it again, and that'll focus people's minds on that this triumvirate are going to come out after the Hories first, and that'll buy them time and forgiveness on all other things.
Can you flesh that out? What are you saying there, then? How's this going to roll out?
Well, they're going to have to come out with some agreement that they will agree on. Right? Now, what is that? The one thing they all agree on out on the campaign trail is getting rid of Māori language, getting rid of the Māori elite, getting whatever it is that tickles your fancy in terms of being anti-Māori. All three parties advance that notion, still do, even in negotiations on the way through, where you get Jones from New Zealand First saying, oh, we've got a lot in common with where Seymour's going on Māori sentiment and issues. So we just wait to see how that rolls out. The rest, all governments come and go, we stay. And so what we've got to do is just get ready to fight our turf till the next three years. But for us, as you know, it's not about the next three. It's about forever, because we're the forever people and the forever movement in the country. And so watching these guys play around isn't unsurprising to us, is it?
Yeah, I guess not. You touch on a good point. Did you read Shane Tupou's article about ACT neoliberalism, Luxon's Middle New Zealand, and Peter's old-style Muldoon-ish politics? Do you think there's something in there that fundamentally they have different approaches to how they see the future for this country?
Yeah, but, there's nothing like sitting around the table talking about how much money I can control to deliver to my constituency who paid for me. If you look at the seats, the most expensive seats purchased by the most wealthy New Zealanders was in the money that Graham Hart and all his rich mates pumped into National Act and New Zealand First. So in terms of seats, it cost ACT over $440,000 per seat. The most efficient and effective party on numbers of seats for dollars expense is Te Pāti Māori at 17,000. So I'm using that as an example. ACT, to get to Parliament, got funded $440,000 per seat from the mega rich who want to control the country still, and they've bought their politicians. Beauty about Te Pāti Māori is the vulnerable communities, the poor Māori stumped up. You know, we never had any iwi money or elite money. We're very happy about where we won our seats and how we won them on nothing. And so that's the, I'm using that as an example to just say to you, I wouldn't get tied up in what Shane Tupou says. I'd get tied up by going straight to who's funding each one of these parties and who owns them. Right? At least we own up to being owned by Māori, owned for Māori, and owned to Māori. These people will never own up to who's actually pulling the strings.
Tēnā koe, a couple of other things. Thank you, John. The Ministry of Trade and Foreign Affairs deciding, without directive from a minister, to drop the Reo Māori greetings from the papers to the incoming minister, whoever that may be. Now, it might seem a small issue, but in the wider context, as you've touched on, it could be the thin edge of the wedge. Your thoughts there, please.
Well, ministers come and go and will last 6 years, right? Bureaucrats that make these decisions last 25 to 30. Now, what you're seeing through the whole of the public service is handbrakes being put on everything Māori because the Pākehā is running those budgets. By Pākehā, four Pākehā, two Māoris are putting handbrakes on money everywhere across the whole of government. That puts all our Māori provider groups and partnerships on a back foot because non-Māori providers are being funded. So right now we're waiting for money to come from the Ministry of Health to get us ready for our vaccination programs in the new year. And we're worse off now than we were before the pandemic, and they know it. But right now they're holding up our funding. Now, that is the racism we suffer under subterfuge of, a new government's coming, and therefore we've got to put the handbrake on. The real law on it is Fitzgerald against Muldoon. Muldoon was elected and then just by a press release said, don't pay into the New Zealand Super Fund that Norm Kirk sent up. Okay, and so people stopped, employers stopped adhering to the law. You see, the law in regard to the pay order legislation must still be adhered to. But you've got bureaucrats in health, not just in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, but across the whole of government interface. Now, they're taking the stick out onto the natives. So you've got to understand what's going on with this change of government and the anti-Māori sentiment in it. And there's only one group that's standing up and pushing back against the fact that there should be a ceasefire in Palestine. There's only one group that's pushed back and said, no, we've got to start to be very watchful and suspicious about pushing Māori back into their welfareism and criminality, because this new government is about investing in building more prisons and employing more cops. And guess who they're going to take the stick out to? So rather than invest in getting our kids out of difficulty, they'll invest in putting them in it. This is the sort of problem we have. But very few of our Māori leaders will talk up about it, will they? You never saw them in the election. And so it's left to the few in the name of the many to pursue, you know, justice for Māori in the country.
What do you make of commentary on this regard from the New Zealand Māori Council? I read that and I thought, well, where have you been? Have heard nothing from the New Zealand Māori Council for what seems like months. Certainly you'd expect to have heard from them in the lead up to the election, but yet nada. I didn't hear a word, and all of a sudden they've come out with a strongly worded letter regarding MFAT's decision.
Oh, well, you know, look, there's a time and a place, and some people take their opportunity and some people don't. The New Zealand Māori Council is a dying creature on the basis of its success. Its success was in winning major cases for us that allowed iwitanga to rise. You know, and so about 70% of the country now is mandated to iwi areas of interest. And New Zealand Māori Council is in total disrepair as a consequence. So, but here's the thing. Everyone in opposition, a rightful opposition to this government and its sense of direction, is a good thing. And so I just ticked that box for them for waking up late in the day.
Fair enough. Thanks, John. Thanks for talking with us. All the best, man.
Hey, the rugby league, brother.
The rugby league. I thought I'd see. I called this game between Auckland and Māori, and you know, our resident Māori team haven't played for years, and it was at the Trust Arena, and I was hoping to see a stack of Waipalata people, but well, I didn't, and I think somebody dropped the ball there, not just on the field, but off it.
Oh, well, the problem rugby league's got is when it was placed under statutory management in the mid 2000s, it hasn't come out. So when a bunch of bald heads are running the code, they become disconnected to the grassroots of it. And so what you see, even with the game, outstanding athletes on display down in Hamilton, when the Kiwis played, you know, it was just you couldn't get a better Aussie side, and they beat them 30-0 in front of bugger all people. Now, you can't, so New Zealand Rugby League and Auckland Rugby League just can't believe that they'll beat a drum and everyone will turn up. You've got to have people invested in the communities, organisations in the communities that will turn their numbers out, work their social media and so on and so forth for you. Well, the present leadership of New Zealand Rugby League and Auckland Rugby League don't have that. You start to see that when there's only 6,800 registered players in the whole of Tāmaki Makaurau. And that, in your and my day, there were 44,000. So, and there was a far smaller population. So, league's got major problems, and I just can't see how they're going to get out of them with the present leadership that they've got.
Thanks, John. Thanks for your thoughts. All the best. Have a good week, John Tamere, president of Te Pāti Māori.